the obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton, the real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
Being sellers, have you come up from, you know, out of the abyss?
I always regenerate. You know that. I'm always ready to go. I always regenerate. It doesn't carry in from one show to the other in terms of like the energy. The premise has not changed. Yankees should sell.
Okay. So now off of that, I think that we are in a spot with Major League Baseball, and this has now been proven for years. It's hard for us as fans to understand that we can't overreact to even bad spurts. And because of the way the postseason is, the format, because of the way that things have played out, whether it's the Nationals years ago, whether it's the Mets last year or left for dead, like I would have bet anything in my entire baseball life watching baseball, I would have said there's no chance that this Mets team becomes a good team. Last year, for 2 months, they were god-awful, and they end up in the NLCS. And that's just one example. The Diamondbacks years ago going to the World Series, whatever it may be, the way the playoff format is. So I don't think it's right for us to overreact to, let's use the Yankees here, off of yesterday. Like, the idea to me that they would be sellers just because they've had a rough patch for 3 weeks is absurd. I'm not going to go that way and overreact to even a prolonged bad stretch of bad baseball.
Okay, that's interesting, and I hear you on some levels. I think if we've learned one thing about baseball, like there's one thing that's definitely changed the last decade or so, big markets and big payrolls don't necessarily equate to championships anymore. That page is turned, that chapter is shut, that book is closed, so I'm with you, the expanded playoffs, the wild card. But for me, what's non-negotiable, what's a deal breaker, what will never change is if you can't do certain things well. So when I sit here and I say that the Yankees should sell, I'm saying that because I think even if they do sell, they've got enough to maybe still mess around and get to the wild card. Not to the World Series, but you're not abandoning ship and suddenly, you know, signing up for 75 wins. But if you can't, there's three staples out. If you can't situationally hit, if you can't catch the baseball, and if you can't protect leads, even with the new wild cards and even with the changing climate of baseball, different landscape, you can't win. So at least specific to the Yankees, that's where I stand on that. But specific to baseball, I kind of hear what you're saying on some level.
Well, I just think it's a different evaluation. It doesn't mean you can't react to bad spurts and get mad in the moment for a game or a bad week. But to go and say that the Yankees should sell because they have not put it together in the last few weeks, to me, is crazy talk to a certain extent. And also, I would say that, and this is me fighting myself here, where I kind of agree with you on the core principles. I've been saying the same thing about the Yankees how many years? Last year, definitively, this team isn't good. I don't believe they're good. The Mets are better, and just use them as a comparison, not Mets-Yankees, just because we watch both these teams in the town. Last year, I felt like the Mets did little things well. The energy was different. And yet the Yankees go to the World Series. And yet the Yankees every year win 90-plus games, generally. So that's why, even with the deficiencies, which we all see, and it is maddening, playing guys out of position, banging the head against the wall, changing the lineup constantly, not being able to catch it, bad on the base pad, situational hitting, all that stuff. Even with that, they went to the World Series a year ago, so I can't give up hope. I think that there's maybe a fine line in between where they could get more creative or give certain guys more opportunity, like Dominguez or Ben Rice, if that's your thing. Mm-hmm. But to say sell for the Yankees, I don't know if that should ever be in play with the way the
But hold on, so sell what? Like, you're making it seem like I'm saying, you know, hey, you know what? The Yanks can never win. Get rid of Aaron Judge. By the time they rebuild, Aaron Judge is going to be past his prime. I'm not saying that. I'm saying trade Grisham to open up center field for a kid who's 22 and could run and looks the part. You know, move on from Goldschmidt, who I respect as a veteran. He's good. He's solid. But you know what? Ben Rice, you know, he's interesting. Put him there.
Why can't they just play those guys, though, anyway? Like, forget about even the selling part of it. Because I think more of your point, because when people hear sell, it's like, wave the white flag.
Yeah, but I'm not saying that.
I know. No, I understand that. But that's why I'm saying maybe selling is not the right word, because it's just you want more Dominguez in center field. You want more Rice at first base. All right, in order to make that easier, you got to get rid of the guys that are there. But Boone could technically just start to make Grisham not guaranteed a starting job. Neither is Paul Goldschmidt. Mm. I happen to like Goldie at first base, and I think the Yankees are better off with him there. But you can make the case. I want to see Dominguez in center. I'm curious. I don't believe he's going to be any good there.
You trust Boone to do that?
I don't trust the Yankees to do that.
Well, however you want to frame it. Don't trust the Yankees? Neither do I.
I think the Yankees...
So I want to take away the temptation.
I know, but I think the Yankees think they're better with doing what they're doing now.
Well, then the Yankees are nuts because they're not better. All and the American League, what's happened in the last year or so... See, last year was a very interesting set of circumstances where the American League was JV. The Yankees had, obviously, Soto and Judge. So when Judge didn't hit in the postseason, Soto did. And, you know, you had a better bullpen. You just had different circumstances. That's changed quickly here. So whatever they think they are, whatever they think they... I think the question's more about what they need to become rather than who they are, because who they are is not good enough.
Okay, but a few weeks ago, that was not the case. So that's kind of my point about... Like, I get it. In a bit, we had the same conversation with the Mets. Like, the Mets are taking on water. It's like, oh... Is this team actually good? And the big difference is the Mets don't have the equity the way the Braves or Dodgers or Yankees do.
Yeah.
Or the Astros with the consistent winning to rely on that. Where the Yankees is like, oh, they'll figure it out. Cashman will be aggressive. And at least to a certain level. So I get the concern for the Mets. To me, that was even wrong in today's day and age. All of a sudden, they went 4-5 and it's like, season back on. All right, well, what happens if they lose the next 5 of 6? Season off. Mets are disaster. Like, the fluctuations. And in this particular case with the Yankees, to go from where we were at, you know, after they got swept by Boston, there weren't many concerns.
Now, I wasn't that guy. I was bothered. But you remember, that concerned.
Well, now fast forward 3 weeks or whatever it's been exactly since that time
horrific frame. Stretch. Concerned.
So that's what I'm saying. So you think it's more than just a horrific stretch?
I do. No, I do. I absolutely do. And it's been amplified by now the absence of Clark Schmidt. So you got to understand this, Al. When the Yankees started this skid, it was easy to contextualize it. Well, you know, Luke Weaver's out with a bad hamstring. You get Luke Weaver back, Devin Williams rounds into form, back in the bullpen's going to be money, blah, 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 right? Well, Luke Weaver's back, Luke Weaver stinks, and Devin Williams has been good, but not quite what we thought.
Right.
So that's number one. Number two, you know, well, I mean, hey, listen, Jazz played third base for the Yankees last year, did a pretty good job because Gleyber didn't want to go over there. Well, now now Jazz is not happy at third base. You get that's something you got to resolve, and now Schmidt's gone. Like, it's not the same. It's the same uniform. It's the same logo, but the standings aren't the same. The circumstances aren't the same, and I don't think that the possibilities are the same for this team, which is why I'm saying what I'm saying.
Understood. And I guess my point is that could all change again in the next 2 or 3 weeks with just the way the baseball season is. Will the core fundamental issue?
No.
Okay.
And that's my main thing.
Agreed, but that hasn't changed for years with this team. So what makes the Yankees conversation different is this traces back to Cashman and the way that the Yankees organization is operating for the most part for the last 5, 6, however many years you want to go back. I always go back to 2021. That would have been the year where I was like, okay, definitively what they're doing is not working. Make a change. But here we are, and the Yankees have had some success since then, most recently getting into the World Series. In 3 weeks from now, maybe starting this week, who knows, this homestand, it's all like, uh-oh, Mariners pitching, Cubs are dangerous. What if the Yankees win 5 of 6, carried by Judge and Dominguez in the offense, Stanton gets going? It's going to be different as far as the results go. It will feel totally different. We've got to get used to the ebbs and flows of a long season with the expanded postseason being a factor. And also, maybe more importantly than the expanded postseason, the inconsistency throughout the sport. I'm still trying to teach myself it's not the same way that it was for so many years. Even evaluating a guy like Nimmo. Inconsistent. But who's a better replacement than Brandon Nimmo and with the potential? Or we look at the Yankees individuals, you know, pick a guy, whatever it may be. The inconsistencies of this team. Major League Baseball in itself is inconsistent nowadays.
Well, listen, Sal, if I was to break it down, right, if I were to look at a baseball, because your point is not lost on me. I hear what you're saying. And again,
I know it's a bigger, like...
No, but I think it's a very interesting one because, listen, it's kind of ironic where you and I are saying, well, I mean, it's yours, but I don't disagree. That's why I say you and I here.
Yeah.
Where we are, I don't know if we're imploring people, but, you know, maybe at least, hey, guys, listen, we got to learn to deal with these ebbs and flows of the baseball season. Two of the most passionate people in the world who react like absolute lunatics when things go awry. And I think it's a sensible take. I truly do. I do. And I do think I'm a little twisted and jaded because the Yankee issues have been going on for so long that I can't disconnect from them. I think your point about baseball in totality is an outstanding one.
Right.
But it's independent of what I still think the Yankees need to do, which is sell. And I look at the baseball season now really in 33% increments. The first 2 months, determine what you need, okay? Go out there, play 60 games, determine what you need. Then the next 2 months, go out there and get what you need. And then the final 2 months, play what you have, you know, with what you have, what you now have, and go out there and be the team that you're going to be. And to me, the Yankees, and to a lesser extent, the Mets as well, but the Yankees are at least two steps away from being where I think that they need to be, which is different from the rest of baseball. So it's a little nuanced there, but I'm with you.
And think about it this way, too. Because of the evolution of the sport with the expanded postseason and the inconsistencies with good teams, bad teams, whatever it may be,
yeah,
that keeps more teams in it, which also makes adding to your team more difficult.
That's true.
It used to be clear, like, this guy's going to be available.
Yeah.
He's going to be a free agent.
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton, the real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
Teams out of it, can't afford them. Stud pitcher, stud offensive player. Even that has changed for years. 2022, no a greater example from a Mets perspective, where they were dying to add a big bat. They have the resources. Finally, it's not, you know, Steve Cohen sitting on his pockets here or sitting on his wallet. He's ready to go, and it's like, oh, the best we could do is Darren Ruff and Daniel Vogelbach, because there was no clear bad or bad contract to take on. Even that has changed, BT, with the amount of teams and the amount of players available at the deadline.
Yeah, there's no doubt. Like, back then, there was always a name or two that you knew. David Cohn was always a gun for hire. And, you know, how many teams right now you think are out of it? 5, 6, where no matter what happens, they're not making a move, they're not doing anything, they're not going for it, they're ready to dump off. And now the teams, the Yankees, the Mets, some others, obviously, a bunch of others, maybe Toronto, maybe the Tigers, maybe the Astros, maybe the Padres, maybe the Giants, maybe the Brewers. I mean, I could basically list every other team in baseball outside of 5 or 6, everybody in theory is going to be making a push, which is why I was saying a while ago, I'm not waiting to the conventional deadline time. Like, I'm looking to be proactive now. When the Giants, now Devers hasn't done much for the Giants, but to me, like, that was a power move. That was kind of seeing, you know, what's about to transpire. That was being opportunistic. And I think if both the Yanks and the Mets wait to fix, either by selling or by acquiring or both in both cases, then I think it might be too late, because you're going to have to jump over 20 teams to get what you need.
It certainly is a big conversation, a fun one to have, and I think we as a whole, as sports fans, need to continue to have this conversation the way we evaluate the baseball season. There is an update here, some breaking news. Talking Yanks, you know, they have Booney on every week.
Yeah, of course.
Aaron Boone tells Talking Yanks that Jazz Chisholm will be moving back to second base starting tonight.
All right, well, here we go. Phase one of waking up. Okay, phase one of looking in the mirror, understanding that's good stuff. What wasn't working. And really, one of the things that has driven me, and I know I'm not alone, is that the Yankees, they acquire players and then they put them out of position, which is such a disservice to the team, obviously, but the individual. Step one, hopefully, of the Yankees understanding they got to get things straight, and I love it.
You know what I liked? Part two of it. Boone added, talking to Talking Yanks on their podcast, he adds that Oswald Peraza will be at third base tonight. The reason I like that is because you get LeMahieu just like, all right, we're starting to trim the fat here.
Let's go a little bit.
Move one piece to second. The infuriating thing about this, and this is where I guess the Yankees are in a no-win, we were all screaming about this for how long? And now they finally do it. And it's like, well, what were you waiting for?
No.
What made you think it was okay to go this long like this? So LeMahieu out of the picture. For now, keep Jazz at second for good, and then for now, live with Peraza. At least you know you're not going to lose anything there defensively with him. Forget about the offense. The other guys will hit enough.
Yep.
Do that until you get a third baseman.
I like that. I do like that. That's good. That's encouraging. And now, listen, let's not also bend over backwards or genuflect at the altar of the Yankees for doing something that anybody could have done months ago.
That's my point. It's like, they're not going to get praised now for doing this.
Yeah.
Like, what are you guys... what are you waiting for? But at least they did the right thing.
It shows a little bit of a sign. And by the way, and we'll get to the Colts here, but back to what you were saying as well about just how baseball's changed and maybe we need to recalibrate, reevaluate. Again, from a premise perspective, I'm largely with you, but that does change when you've got such a crazy payroll. That should not exonerate you from the criticisms that come for the mismanagement of money that too often have happened with the Yankees lately.
And I'm not saying that you can't or that we can't criticize teams.
God,
or
if
players.
We can't criticize, I don't want to do radio anymore.
No. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying that it's got to be measured in that, hey, like I did with Juan Soto. Hey, Juan Soto's not performing now. That was in April or May. It was never about he's not going to perform or this is bad contract, at least from my perspective. Certain things, there are and look, right or wrong, it doesn't matter. But in the moment, you can react and criticize and say, hey, this is a bad stretch. This is what they need to do. But taking it a step further and saying, like, I don't believe in this team for me, whereas last year we got bit by that with the Mets. I didn't believe in them in April, May. Look what happened. I just think the way the baseball sport has evolved, we need to evolve with it. And now I can even sense a little regeneration in you already.
Well,
Jazz moving a second here.
A little dead weight. And that also tells me they are going now. How big game hunting is? You're not getting Mike Schmidt out there or Jordan.
They might get Suarez.
They're getting a third baseman. There is no doubt that the Yankees are getting a third baseman. Now, again, I'm going to hold on to this premise until the cows come home. I'm still looking to get rid of people. I am still looking to get rid of people to be able to insert other people on a daily basis. So, me, you know, vacillating from the sell position is not happening. This is independent. This is at least, hey, listen, I mean, I want to be fair to the Yankees here. Again, this could have happened a couple of months ago. Hell, it could have happened more last year, but at least they acknowledge it now. The next move is getting a third baseman, and you know that that's coming.
Yeah, they acknowledge playing their best second baseman at second base was the right move. Congrats to the New York Yankees and everybody involved for making the right decision. BT and Sal on the Fan. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut.
Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Or how about the mysterious death of Brittany Murphy? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped murder at the hands of the Manson family? The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton? The real-life murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks? The three conspiracies surrounding Marilyn Monroe's death. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Hollywoodland is hosted by me, Jake Brennan, creator of the award-winning music and true crime podcast, Disgraceland. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
To Maine, nobody beat Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Anthony's in Manalapan starting us off. What's up, Ant?
What's going on, guys? Two quick moves, not quick moves, but moves that make sense that aren't, you know, crazy. Suarez, that you mentioned, Eugenio Suarez at third base. He's got a 900 OPS, 28 home runs. That really stretches out the lineup. Then the big one is Jacob DeGrom. If we can land him, and he's got 2 years left on his contract, so, you know, we lose Schmidt next year. But then, you know, imagine the playoff rotation of Freed, DeGrom, Rodon, and then carrying that next year. If Gerrit Cole comes back, you got four aces in the lineup.
Yeah, I mean, you're asking a lot there.
I mean, listen, I'll tell you what. I don't know if the Yankees would eat all that money. That would pretty much solve every problem that the Yankees get.
Here we go, BT. Come on.
But still sell some of the other dead weight that I don't want around anymore. But now they'd have to get a couple of higher leverage bullpen arms. But, I mean, DeGrom has been absolutely filthy.
DeGrom.
Why not?
Dude, think about the money.
But why not, though?
Look at his contract.
You think they need a starting pitcher?
The Yankees?
Yes.
I think any team could use an additional starting pitcher. So the answer would be yes.
Yeah, but the Yankees more than others because the Yankees are in it and they just lost Clark Schmidt and they lost Gerrit Cole.
But do they need DeGrom and his salary? Like, if I were to ask you, who do you think needs DeGrom more, the Mets or the Yankees, your answer would be what?
Who do I think needs DeGrom more, the Mets or the Yankees? Honestly, I would probably say the Yankees at this point.
See, I would go Mets clearly because they don't have the ace. And, well, forget about whether they can take on the money. That has nothing to do with the need. The Mets don't have the ace. The Yankees have Freed. But each team needs an arm. Like, you know, look at the Mets rotation. The Yankees are banged up, too. So I think you can make a case for both. I don't think it's realistic that DeGrom is going to want to come back to New York. I'm not sure about his contract.
No trades, right?
I would think he's not going to want to come back to New York. Not only that, would the Mets be willing to take on his money? I believe that they would. Would the Yankees? I don't think that they would. And nor would I really blame them, being given what they've invested in that rotation. You're going to have Cole, Freed, Rodon, and Jacob DeGrom. Like, that's... God bless them if they could do it.
If you want to go back in time and do what you used to do, the answer is yes.
That's George.
That shouldn't be that hard of a question.
I get it. But do you think they're realistically going to do that?
I don't. And that is the fundamental problem, right? One of several fundamental issues with the Yankees. But it's looked so bad. And I know that we've seen these mid-season swoons before. This one, to me, is more pronounced. This one, to me, is more alarming. This one is more detrimental to their future this year. Number one, because their division's a lot better.
Right.
It's not like you could mess around, figure it out, and still make sure you win the division. Not to mention, as I said before, the growth of the American League here. So there are power moves to be made, and while still selling the other pieces, I stand by that.
It's okay.
No doubt.
I want you to regenerate here.
I want certain guys off the team. I do. But DeGrom and DeGrom? If you have an infield of Jazz, Ant's got to start playing well. Yeah. Volpe, well, and Suarez?
Does that really fix those problems? We can get to that when we come back. Would adding Suarez and DeGrom fix all the Yankees' issues? BT and Sal on the Fan. More your calls as we come back. Last night, back in action. Tonight, Mets in Baltimore. Yanks at home taking on the Mariners. And it'll be a different Yankee look. But just in general, the overreaction to bad weeks or, you know, even a bad month, where those things used to paralyze a season, now all of a sudden everything is still possible the way the wild cards are and all those different things. But the Yankees, BT, being aggressive, I don't even want to say admitting a mistake, but finally doing what was right by the team, moving Jazz, who's a second baseman, to second base, and I'm assuming he's going to stay there for good now.
Yeah, I mean, that's the way it came across for sure. If they start jerking him around now, they are lost. They're not going to do that. He's going to play second the rest of the way. They're going to try to get a third base, but it seems like they, you know, are at least going to try to do that. And it's interesting. It's a good starting point here. There's definitely dead weight and pieces that I no longer deem worthy of either being on the team or playing every day or blocking the path of a young, interesting player that I would still move on for or from. That's how I position the sell aspect, not waving the white flag. But I wanted to ask you, too,
yeah,
what do you think, back to the reaction about the season, right, and how we unpack losses? What do you think social media's role is in that? Because I'm trying to think back to when I was growing up and I was listening to The Fan. I mean, it's so long ago. Were people screaming about an otherwise benign loss in July?
Yeah, I think.
For the Yanks and the Mets?
But I think that's okay as long as it doesn't make it seem like the season is over. And remember, too, it was different back then with the way the sport is or was. Back then, there's no way that if the Mets got off to the start they had last year, first of all, they would not have been a postseason team.
No, got to win your division back then.
Yeah.
Back
I mean,
in
that's
the day.
Going way back then.
I'm going pre-95, yeah.
And even if you go post-95, like pre-whatever year, pre-pandemic, I guess, whatever year they changed it 5 years ago, like, the Mets weren't making the post. They barely made it a year ago, and they ended up getting in and going to the NLCS, so, like, that has even changed. Or the Diamondbacks getting to the World Series with whatever they won, 80-something games a couple years ago.
83, I think. 83, 84.
I mean, that's absurd to think about. That would never happen. Those teams wouldn't even be in the postseason, let alone go on a postseason run. So there was reason, based off of our past watching baseball, to believe that the Mets buried themselves in April or May.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not understanding today's baseball. The same thing with the Yankees, like this bad stretch. Oh, man, it's so bad. And they were bad from June on last year. June on, the Yankees did not play a good brand of baseball.
Same in 2022. Same deal.
Bingo. Same thing. Now, in 2022, they just got slaughtered by the better team, but they still made it to the ALCS.
Yeah.
Last year, okay, they got beat by the better team with the Dodgers. They made it to the World freaking Series.
But they looked awful when they got there.
I know. I agree with you. We agree that the Yankees need to clean things. I was saying this all year long, like, the Boston series exposed the Yankees for the first time to me this year. Now, all right, you chose to look at it just 3 games, no big deal. And I'm like, I don't know, man, this is ugly. And it's only gotten way worse since then. But there is probably a happy medium that could say, all right, well, they're not as bad as it seems now, but also not to the level that we think they need to get to be able to be a World Series winner, but they still could go to the World Series.
Think about how much of the frustration that's voiced by Yankee fans is rooted in the exhaustion of watching the same deficiencies.
Yeah, I get
that's
it.
A big part of it.
I get that
energy and that visceral reaction. Like, I'm not saying Met fans don't get worked up and you get pasted by the Pirates 30-4. Of course, Met fans were unhappy. They were ranting and raving, but that was also the worst 3-game stretch in the history of the Mets, including the 62 Mets. It's a new team. It's second year manager. You know, Cohen's been here five years. It's, you know, they're just getting off the tarmac here.
They're not an all or nothing home run strikeout laden team. Like, I'm not saying they're perfect and they have perfect players, obviously, but the Yankees have just been built one way and done bad things for so long.
And that's so much of the frustration. And the thing, too, about just, you know, baseball as an entity, independent of the Yankees or the Mets, you know, we've talked and we've lamented about some of the changes where, you know, catchers now are so consumed with stealing 3 inches on the corner to get a strike rather than throwing somebody out at second base or keeping the ball in front of you on a slider in the dirt, or pitchers going five or whatever, all the changes to the game. But this is one thing that I know. I'll take this to the grave. If you can't catch the baseball and you can't hold on to a lead late and you can't situationally hit, you ain't winning anything that matters, no matter how much the game has changed.
All right, so with Jazz being moved to second, as Boone told Talking Yanks on the podcast, he's on with them weekly, who do you think made this decision?
Oh, it's got to be a joint organizational decision. I don't think it's one person.
Right, but doesn't that show you, in part, the problem here? Like, I got to believe that Boone knows better. Although last year it was him who said that he wanted to play Jazz at third because he didn't want to upset Glaber, who didn't want to go there.
Yeah.
So he's trying to.
But his first instinct was to get Glaber to go there, and Glaber punked out and said no.
All right, so now he, as a manager, is saying, well, I'm not going to force it on Glaber. Some guys would have, maybe Girardi, who knows, but that type manager would have forced it. Hey, look, you're going to third base.
Yeah.
Suck it up and deal with it. Boone wanted to do right by his players, and also being smart enough to realize, I'm not going to make somebody that doesn't want to go there, because what good is that going to do for anybody?
Especially a fragile player mentally like Labor's been the last couple of years. Yep.
Okay, so I don't know whose decision it was to play Jazz at third this year. I have a feeling it was probably Boone. I'm sure it was. They're all organizational things, but like, why the change now? Do you think Boone just woke up and said, all right, I'm going to make this change now? Or was it somebody in the front office saying, hey, look, we can't do this anymore. Like, Jazz wants to play. Maybe it's like, maybe Jazz went to him again. Like, I don't know. That's why I'm asking the question. I think it's fair to ask.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now that they made the right decision, how'd they get there? Who finally made the decision? Why weren't they able to see this before? What took them so long to do it? And then who finally made the call to make this happen now?
Okay, those are money questions. I'll give you a couple of guesses. I would say this, though. There's, and fans don't want to hear this, right? We're talking about the way we react to the quote-unquote new baseball. Well, the Yankees and other teams are also reacting. They're just not telling us. And I think what's happened to the new baseball is that there is now an experimental phase.
Yes, it's infuriating!
That has infiltrated the season. Now, experimental when you're supposed to win 95 or 100, get to and win a World Series, have a $300 million-ish payroll, be top three in the game in terms of payroll with the Mets and the Dodgers, have the best player in baseball and Judge. Like, nobody wants to hear experimental phase, but there is enough wiggle room, enough of a laboratory for the Yankees, even though they don't love it, but they're not going to tell us that. All right, we know Jazz is better at second. Let's see if he can assimilate to third, and then maybe we could do, like, I think that they look at a 30 or a 40-game portion of their season as experimental time.
Dude, I think you just nailed it. It ties in the whole thing that we're talking about before. There are experimental periods now, whether it's a young player, Dominguez, or whoever you want to throw out there, anything, Ben Wright, whatever it may be.
Uh-huh.
Hey, let's see what he could do. Obviously, the Mets do the same thing. There are experimental phases to where teams say, okay, this is our roster going in. We're okay with this, but we know we might have to make some moves. Let's see what happens the first couple of months of the season. And for the Mets, we could be sitting here screaming, oh, God, they need pitching. You need a bullpen. Well, they're trying to survive and experiment to see how far they can make it until they get to a point where they know they got to make some moves at the deadline, where they're not getting held hostage to make a move,
yeah,
where, you know, the markets start to develop. And then from there, you really build what you believe to be your best team, your whole team. You figure out what young players can stick, what doesn't. So the first half of the season, or the first couple months of the season, experimental phase.
A little bit. And the other thing, too, is when you consistently get off to good starts like the Yankees do, now that pads the cushion.
Yes.
And maybe extends the experimental, yeah, phase, number one. And I also think, as much as, you know, DJ and some others, you know, just time to move on, no disrespect, cut the fat, you're just not good enough, you're not viable enough. But also now, the young Yankee players are getting more runway. As much as we're sitting here saying, bat Dominguez first every game, which I stand by, play him every game, you know, DH, whatever, obviously center field, that's why I want to move on to Grisham, but they are playing him far, and Ben Rice and Austin Wells and obviously Volpe, and that's a different conversation, far more than they ever did any of their other prospects back in the day. And you know why? Because I don't think that experimental window, that laboratory was there, because they weren't comfortable cooking up a new concoction when you had Pedro and Manny and Big Poppy and all those studs,
right,
in Boston trying to take the title from you.
Right. I mean, they've been in an experimental phase with Volpe for 3 years.
Yeah.
Think about that. And that's part of my problem, is because they're letting, and it's not just the Yankees, this is everybody, but we're talking about the Yankees. They're letting big league players, or they're letting players learn at the big league level and experimenting with them. Okay, well, we'll figure it out. Dominguez in left, we'll see how he does out there. And then if he messes up and you feel like you can't run him out there anymore, okay, you pull back a little bit on those experimental reins. And now, knowing that they've fallen back, what, 3.5 for the Blue Jays, who don't lose anymore,
mm-hmm,
now maybe that experimental phase, hey, you know what, boys?
It's serious time.
Time to get serious. Let's clean this up
you
now.
You go to second. Let's get a third base. That's it.
I think you used the perfect word to describe it. there is an experimental phase in me. And by the way, it's not just baseball. It's the NBA's regular season.
Yep.
It's weeks
the
one,
first
through,
yep.
1 through 4 in the NFL.
That's what I was going to say, yeah. What about hockey? I think hockey still has the last modicum of pride and integrity where they play every shift like they're gonna, you know, like they're starving.
I don't feel like there's the experimental phase there, but maybe it is. Maybe we just don't pay close enough attention to it throughout the course of the regular season. But in the other sports, think about that in the NFL. We talk about this all the time with the lack of preseason. What do you think the first few weeks are? Experimental phase, preseason. They're essentially figuring it out, but the games count. It's bizarre.
With same the prices they charge, too.
Yeah, really. That's not right either. BT and Sal, the Fed will get back to your calls. We come back, 888-808-1019. Luis Gil expected to begin a rehab assignment on Sunday and confirms that he'll be built up as a starter. So I don't know where the
about
questions
a month,
were about
that's
that.
What sounds, that's what I'm hearing. That's okay, what it sounds
so
like. Build him up.
All right, that's not bad.
No.
Well, build him back up to a starter, so they're not going to use him out of the pen. Obviously, the Yanks need pen help, which I'm assuming they're going to get. Probably third baseman. But if Gil comes back in that starting rotation, all of a sudden it starts to look a little bit better.
Yes.
Then the question before, the caller mentioned about DeGrom and Suarez, and then we had the question before, would that be enough? Your issues with the Yankees are deeper than just bringing a third baseman, bringing another starting pitcher. So even if the Yankees went and got Suarez and DeGrom, which would be astronomical, and assuming they got another bullpen arm, but a lesser arm, that would be an astronomical return. Do you think that that would fix their issues?
I mean, I know Suarez hits. I've got to honestly look into his defense a little bit more. Let's see.
Either way, he'd be an upgraded third because even if you lose a little defensively, he'd make up for it offensively. But what about the other stuff?
No,
what about
the Volpe's still an issue.
Right. What about the outfield fit, whether it's Dominguez or not, the DH stuff?
Well, the outfield, again, I'm going to just for now suspend what I say about selling certain players,
even though I
still want to get rid of some. But just to answer your question, if you've got an outfield of Judge, Grisham and Bellinger.
Right.
And a DH tandem, lefty-righty platoon of Dominguez and Stanton with Suarez.
Right.
And with Jazz at second.
And you could have a first base platoon with Rice and Goldschmidt.
I think you probably win the division. I'm still not looking at a championship team yet.
See, that's what I'm saying. Like, the...
That's a lot that they got to do, though.
Oh, well, they're not doing that. I mean, they could get Suarez. They're not getting DeGrom.
What are we talking about?
And DeGrom is...
If they do this, I like it, but they're not doing it.
But let's say, forget DeGrom for a second. Even if they got Suarez, which I do think is realistic. I don't know if it's going to happen, but I think it's realistic. The Yankees need a third baseman. We all know it. They know it. Like, the only issue was, do they want to maybe look for a second baseman to keep Jazz at third? That was the issue, you know, before Jazz started complaining about it, before he couldn't make the throw to first base. So we know the Yankees are waiting for the market to develop here. They're going to go get a third baseman. Matter of fact, if I had a bet on it blindly right now, without any sources or any intel, I would bet they're going to go get Suarez. He's the clear third baseman that's going to be available, you would think. The Yankees are going to be swinging for the fences, being aggressive. That would be the guy. By the way, there's the Mets could potentially be interested in him as well.
I know.
Now, I did hear Andy Martino was talking about this on SNY, saying the Mets are going to be aggressive. Anyway, we'll get to the Mets coming up at 11. Point is, let's say the Yankees get Suarez at third. You could still have that alignment in the outfield with Bellinger, Grisham, Judge, platoon DH with Dominguez and Stanton, and have Ben Rice and Goldschmidt platoon at first. Jazz at second, Volpe at short is the weak link.
Yeah.
But you live with that. You Suarez at third, Wells at catcher.
I'm just not sure that those platoons are going to come to fruition. It sounds good on the radio. Are they going to do it? If they actually were open to that, then I think that that's very appealing.
Now, so that's one piece being added with Suarez there. Now you'd have to fix the bullpen because Weaver is a massive, massive
problem.
He's
a mess right now.
Massive problem.
Yep.
Do you think he's going to get right? That's a whole different thing. But if
honestly, Sal, I have no idea.
He's
had one really good year. I mean, where's the 5-6 years of evidence? There isn't. I like him. I think he's got great moxie. That's why I liked him a year ago. But Sal, he is getting lit up.
Can't rely on him. But I do think Williams has stabilized himself back there, and they would get another arm, let's say, in this equation. And then the other question is the starting rotation. Like, forget DeGrom, but you have Fried, Rodon,
Will Warren.
Warren, I know you like him better than I do. I know he's got nasty stuff, but...
Schlittler.
Schlittler. And then the possibility of Heel coming back. You don't want Stroman anywhere near the mound.
No.
So
I'll take him as a 5-6 inning guy, get an out or two.
That can be...
Well, I mean, listen. I mean, geez. I mean, at that point, the payroll's 320. That could be championship worthy. It should be.
All we had was Suarez here and a bullpen arm.
Well, okay, let's focus on Suarez for 1 second. We know he hits bombs. We know he posts every day. A couple of years ago, he played 162. Last year, he played almost 160. And so far, he's played, I think, 89 of 90. You know what else he does? Strikes out a ton. He led the league in
strikeouts.
Well, that's... an ass. So, Sal, in 2022, led the league in strikeouts. Yeah. In 2023, led the league in strikeouts. He struck out 214 times. And this year, he's on pace for another 200. So, yeah. Not that I wouldn't take him. Of course, I would take him over Peraza. Yeah. I mean, but you're facing good... This is championship vision. This is my problem. This is my fear, my concern. You're facing great pitching. Lights out, high leverage arms coming out of the pen, throwing 99 with six sliders. Is he making enough contact? Because if he doesn't run into balls that, you know, and fastballs that go over the fence... What does he bring in October?
Think about this now. Now that you just went a little bit further, because I didn't know that about all the strikeouts.
I didn't realize it was that high.
So do you think he's more likely to be a Yankee or less likely to be a Yankee knowing that? Dude, he fits exactly what they look for.
Put it this way. It's not going to be a deterrent to them, and that's part of the problem
here
now.
I think it's more likely you're going to get him now.
Yeah, yeah. Now, listen, and I'd let their people do this. I mean, although I'm going to have to make sure they get it right. I might have to do my own little experiment. I'm not going to say that I think McMahon's a better defender or this guy. I have no idea, dude. I really would have to dive a little more deeply into that.
We know they don't like Arenado. That's a fact.
Yeah, that seems to have come. They didn't like him in the offseason, but it seemed the Cardinals were ready to ship him out. And we all kind of assumed Yanks will be there. Cardinals buy out some of the money. It's a good fit. Great fielder.
Puts
still
the bat on the
pop.
Ball.
He does. He does put the bat on the ball.
He fields it extremely well.
Still an elite fielder. Doesn't fit in. Puts the bat on the ball. Fields well. Not a good fit for the Yankees. So let's get the guy who strikes out 212 times.
But hits 30-plus
and hits
run,
30-something bombs. Listen, if you tell me McMahon's a better fielder... And he's got a few less home runs.
But he's also a strikeout machine, isn't he, McMahon?
But I don't know that anybody's a strikeout machine like Suarez. Yeah. He's led the league three times in the last 5 years.
Oh, man. BT and Sal, the fan, 888.
But I'll take him.
Yeah. 888-808-1019. Milton calling from Brooklyn. What's up, Milton?
Hey, Milt.
Hey, what's going on? Hey, guys, what's going on?
What's up?
Listen, I think the beginning of everything that's going wrong, and I believe this in my heart, is that Cashman, with all those years and experience, Hal listens to him. And he has convinced Hal that it's good enough to just get there and pray you win. When it used to be, it was championship or bust. So now Hal's sitting there, probably doesn't even want to do this. Just doing it because it was his father. He should sell a team. What's happening is it's fool's gold. Now, what happens is Sal is a Met fan, and Sal wants what we have. That's consistency, making the playoffs every year. That is what a Met fan wants. He wants to be considered one of those
teams. Well,
I think
that's what every fan wants, Milton.
Exactly. But what we notice is that it's fool's gold. It is fake. They're not going to win nothing because they build a bully team to win in the playoff in the regular season. You get enough money, you're going to win 90-plus in your sleep. And then they get to the playoffs and they get exposed because they don't get contact hitters. I'm sick and tired of young Yankee fans and dumb Yankee fans that don't notice this, that it's fool's gold. Do not fall for it. This is a team that will slap around the little kid, but when the big guy comes in the yard, he wiggles. He goes away because it gets exposed. This team needs to change their philosophy. You got to stop getting 30, 40 home run guys. I don't care about home runs. I want guys that slap the ball around because when you get into the playoffs, you need that.
Milton,
you need guys that are pesky
It would be a balance. See, that's my issue with the Yankees. They have a home run hitter in Judge, the greatest home run hitter in Judge. You want to throw in Stan as well? Okay, fine. You got two or even Bellinger. Like, it's not like they don't have home run hitters. So why do you need all home run hitters? And thank you for the call. It should be, okay, we've got these two or three guys that are going to be our power bats.
Yeah.
Now let's round out the roster with well-rounded ball players, guys that can put the bat on the ball, make some contact, run the bases, field. Mm-hmm. That's the way you build a team.
Well, you mentioned they're elite power hitters, but, you know, Wells suddenly has 13 or so. You know, Ben Rice has 14. Volpe, even though he's had a really rough season, Volpe's going to wind up 15, 16, 17, I would imagine. They've got enough pop. Grisham's obviously got, mid-teens here. It's just, Milton's premise about the philosophy is well-received. I think we all agree with that, Milt. I'm with you. But the problem is they're not going to change it in the middle of the season. And quite frankly, they're never going to change it or at least augment it and modify it until Brian Cashman is no longer running the show. And that's not going to happen right now either. So I guess the best case for me is to bring in some new blood and roll the dice and get rid of some dead weight, which is what I said yesterday.
Eddie's calling from Long Island. What's up, Eddie?
Eddie.
Yeah, I want to talk about the Yankees, about their bunting situation. They're horrible. If they would bunt with first and second and no out, they would definitely win some games, and especially that's why they're terrible in the extra innings. A man on second, you bunt. I was taught in Little League. That's a no-brainer. They drive me up a wall every time. That's why they lose extra innings. It's crazy.
Well, so, Eddie, how long have you been watching baseball here, my friend? I'm just curious.
My whole life.
Well, obviously.
I watched every Yankee game, and I played the game
for 25 years. Since when?
I've been in Little League since I'm 8 years old.
How old are you? I'm trying to get to, Eddie. How old are you?
7 years old.
Okay. Maybe they should start bunting more.
They have to bunt. It's did you see that guy, Martin, when they played the Mets? There was two errors. The pitcher made an error, and the guy made a throwing error. Things happen when you bunt.
They had, apparently, a great bunter on their ball club last year, but they let him get away. As the Mets paid Juan Soto $765 million to lay down a bunt in the first inning.
Yes,
Sacrifice that. He did. And we didn't get to that yesterday, but Juan.
So selfless, huh? I'm not even messing around. That is, for a guy who wants to hit another top tank bomb, try to stick it to the Yankees, to drop down a bunt,
you can't be bunting in that spot.
I got no problem with that. I know Benji didn't love it either. I have no problem with it.
I didn't see what
they're
Mandy
giving you
said.
A hit. Take the hit.
You can't be bunting. Well, no, he's bunting to sack.
I know, but I'm saying in general, there was a sack. Now,
it led to a grand slam, so people can't go nuts about it. Juan Soto, dude. If I ever see that again, I am going to flip.
Pull up to him in the players' parking lot, yell at him?
No, but you know me. Like, I'm the biggest Juan Soto fan that there is in this town.
Yeah.
You can't. Inexcusable. I'd rather you hit into a double play every single time in that exact situation than bunt.
I got a different situation for you, because that is different to sacrifice, okay?
Yeah. Well, that's what Eddie was saying.
I got you. The sack is different, even though it worked out with Nimmo. Got it. Let's say the Mets are down one run, and it's either late September, or try to chase down the Phillies, win the division, playoff series, whatever it might be, but it's a big spot. Mets are down one, top nine, or bottom nine. They're at home. And Soto's leading off again. They're down to run against a good closer. Third baseman all the way back. You got a problem just pushing it down the line, getting on base, and keeping the train moving?
I mean,
it's a guaranteed hit.
Yeah. I'd rather him just walk in that spot.
Well, but there's no guarantee that he's going to walk.
Not all spots are equal, obviously. First inning, first and second, I'm thinking three-run homer, break this thing open. You lay down a bunt? What? Juan Soto bunting? So anyway, the Yanks let their big bunt to go. And news for everybody who loves the bunts, and that's a lot of the fan listeners and old-time callers, I need to bunt more. That's not going to fix everything. The issues run deeper. I think the Yankees' issues run a little deeper than the lack of bunting.
I would agree, unfortunately. But the other issue is it might make it worse because they don't know how to bunt.
Yeah, exactly right. These guys aren't taught that. All right, BT and Sal on the fan. We'll get to the Mets aspect of things when we come back. Continue with your Yankee calls as well. 888-808-1019.
Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Or how about the mysterious death of Brittany Murphy? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped murder at the hands of the Manson family? The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton? The real-life murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks? The three conspiracies surrounding Marilyn Monroe's death? These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Hollywoodland is hosted by me, Jake Brennan, creator of the award-winning music and true crime podcast, Disgraceland. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.